My memory's not bad, but it's definitely not what it was when I was a teenager. Matibi's second question was, can the brain become too full? Maybe mine's just got less space left in it. Maybe that's why my memory skills have tailed off. Or have they? Time for some more testing.
Hi, Marnie, are you okay?
Yeah.
Marnie, are you ready for your big exam?
yes, I am. Is it weird to say that I'm enjoying it in here?
That is a bit odd, actually.
I mean, I know it's got the sort of dimensions of a coffin, but it's like, it's quite cosy.
I'm at the MRC Cognition and Brain Sciences Unit at the University of Cambridge, where Louisa has volunteered me for a brain scan. So here I am, inside an enormous white tube in a special non-metallic room, while producer Louisa and radiographer Karen monitor me through a thick glass wall. Also in the control room, memory scientists Dr. John Simons, postdoc Francesca Richter, and PhD student Sana Korki. The brain scanner is an enormous, expensive magnet, so metal radio equipment nearby is a no-no. So we talk through the intercom. I'm going to be part of Sana's experiment, looking at how age affects your ability to remember precisely and where in the brain that happens. I'm going to be doing a memory test that measures how exact my memory is, and Sana can see what's going on in my brain at the same time.
So this experiment that we're running here is investigating how healthy aging affects your memory function and what are the changes on the neural level in terms of your brain structure and function that might be associated with memory decline in older age.
Okay, so there we can see the first structural scan of Marnie's brain.
Mm-hmm. Does that look like a good brain to you?
It looks a very fine brain indeed, yes.
So we've got Marnie's brain up on a monitor, sort of slice by slice. And John, do you think you could point out which brain regions are to do with memory?
Yeah, so we've known for a long time that some of the really important areas of the brain for memory are this area, the hippocampus, which is an area in the middle of the temporal lobe. The temporal lobe runs from the temple, hence the name, back to around the ear. So the hippocampus is really crucial for memory. If you have damaged that region, it can make you amnesic. It's not the only region of the brain involved in memory. There's a whole network of brain regions. And another important region is the parietal lobe. We think that's a region that's very important for determining the precision with which we're able to remember information. So that's why, you know, it's a region that's really important for this experiment where we're interested in memory precision.
So while they're looking at my brain, I'm lying around in the scanner. I'm pointlessly competitive, so I really want to win this test. In the scanner, I'm shown a sequence of landscapes, each with a different object, in a different colour and place. I have to try and remember each shade and location. The rest of the team will be watching my progress on a monitor in the control room.
Yes, so now she's just studying the displays which have objects in different locations and colours.
In a field with a mountain in the background.
It's really fast. What do we see? Oh, OK, I didn't even see it. What's that?
So this is a picture of a mountain and there's a bowling ball on top of it.
Floating around. Oh, it's changed. Okay. So right now Marnie is trying to memorise all these pictures.
Exactly, yeah.
So there's 20 pictures. All of them have a different background and an object on them. And the object has a different colour and location. And Marnie has to remember both the colour and the location of the object.
Now she's doing it.
Yes.
Green hammer is on the...
I think that was that is a dress and a mountain, and she's moving around the dress and changing the colour. And I don't remember seeing this at all. This is we've gone to the Big Ben one, and she's putting it. I think that's right, a bit up, Marnie. That wasn't right, was it?
I think that was quite close.
Was that quite close?
Okay. Yeah.
So you're a bit forgiving, are you? When you?
Yeah. So we can kind of look at whether the participants remember kind of the gist of the location or the gist of the colour,
okay.
And then we can look at the precise, how precisely they are.
That one correct. Was also a bit further up.
Out of the scanner, I feel annoyed I'm not better at this game. I didn't use the memory technique that Simon taught me. It didn't seem to help here. But I'm eager to see my results and what my brain was doing as it attempted the test. Sana and Franca explain.
I've got the picture of my brain on a bit of paper here. Can you tell me which bits of my brain were working when I was trying to remember location and colour?
Around this bit of the brain here, which is the hippocampus in the sort of middle of the brain, would be more active when you were able to successfully remember some information about the colour or location of the objects. And then there's another area in the lateral parietal lobe of the brain, so in sort of the back of the brain around here, which increases its activity when you're able to recall information really precisely. So activity in that region tracks the precision of your memory retrieval.
So, Franca, what's the experiment actually for?
So we already know that older adults, compared to younger adults, are not as well in remembering sort of the precise details of the memory. So they remember the gist of it just as well, but they might be missing some of the details. And in this experiment, we want to actually compare a group of younger adults and older adults and see whether we can track any differences in brain activity or in sort of just structural anatomical differences that might explain why they might be doing worse in this task.
And just out of interest, am I a younger adult or an older adult?
What's your actual age? I could tell you that our younger group is 18 till 30 or 35, I think.
And 30. Yeah.
And our older age group is 60 to 80, so I think you might be neither of them.
Yeah, I'm neither, yeah. Sana, I'm a middle adult, not a younger one or an older one. You've got my results up, have you?
Yes, we have your results up now. So it seems to be that you're doing very well on the task. On average, on 70% of the trials, you were able to successfully remember the gist of the colour or location of the item. So I think that's about the average that we usually see. So that's I think that sounds good.
Congratulations then to my mind for a job averagely done. And it isn't likely to get better because, as Sana's work shows, memory, like so much else, deteriorates as we get older. So is it a matter of use it or lose it? Can we fight memory loss? What is a memory? I mean, what does it actually look like in the brain?
Well, a memory in the brain is a bunch of connections between many of the neurons that we have in our brain. We have about 86 billion neurons in our brain, and all these connections together make up our memory of that previous event.
Our listener, Matibi, wants to know how much information you can jam into a brain.
So there must be a limit to how much we can remember, because there's a limited amount of space today. There's a limited number of neurons making up the brain, a big number of them, 86 billion or so, but still a limited number. But we haven't even come close to finding what that limit might be yet. Experiments have been done showing people thousands of pictures, for example, and people do have a very good memory for even thousands of pictures. But whatever the capacity might actually be, it's certainly going to be bigger than the amount of information Matibi's going to have to remember for his exams, so I'm sure he'll be okay.
And is there, I mean, there's the phrase use it or lose it. Is there any correlation between practicing with your memory on a regular basis and keeping it for longer? I mean, it seems that our memories seem to get worse as we get older.
Our memories do unfortunately get worse as we get older, and there's lots of different reasons why that might be. Part of it is that, you know, as we get older, we tend to have more things that we have to remember. So that makes it more difficult to remember things than perhaps when we're younger. The more things we remember, the more our memories interfere with one another as well. So that's sort of one of the main difficulties that sort of constrains how much we can remember, is that different memories interfere with one another, and then we find it more difficult to access the precise memory that we were actually looking for.
Oh, that's interesting. So you've got more stuff in there.
You have more stuff in there. The more overlap there is between these memories, the more they interfere with one another, the more difficult you're going to find it to access the precise memory that you are after.
I mean, he's young and prime of his life, but is there anything that you could suggest to him to stop those memories fading away like they do with all of us?
Well, I mean, the more that we think about our memories, the more likely it is we're going to be able to remember them in the future. So with important memories, memories that we might really want to hold on to, that can be a useful strategy, is to actually to think about our memories, to go over them again and again.
To keep precious memories safely locked in our brains, we have to keep thinking about them, and this strengthens the physical connections in the brain. Matibi, I hope our digging has given you some tips for when you start university and your years of exams to come. Your brain may have a limit to the amount of memories it can form because it's a finite portable storage unit, an organic hard drive made of billions of neurons that can make connections. So in theory, there has to be a limit. It's just nobody's found that limit yet. And as our time with memory athletes has shown us, your brain, like your body, can be trained. Talking of which, here's Paco. He's one of the memory athletes, and he says he can remember 700 places of an infinite sequence of numbers known as pi. I asked him to prove it.
1, 4, 1, 5, 9, 2, 6, 5, 3, 6, 8, 9, 3, 2, 3, 8, 2, 6, 4, 3, 6, 2, 3, 2, 6, 9, 3.
That's it for this edition of Crowd Science on the BBC World Service.
Today's question was from you, the TV, and presented by me, Marnie Chesterton. Who was the producer?
Louisa Field.
Matibi, where should people send their questions if they have a question about anything, life, Earth, the universe?
They should email it to crowdscience@bbc.co.uk.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
1, 1, 7, 0, 6, 7, 9.
Hi, podcast listeners. Thank you for sticking with us to the dying seconds of this podcast. I've got a favour to ask. Actually, I've got two. Now, we just scratched the surface of this week's topic, so please do send us any more questions you have on memory. I'd love to come back to this topic in the future and do a programme around them. And also, do you have a favourite Crowd Science moment? Or a worst one? Has some fact or story really stuck with you? Please do send us your thoughts before the 20th of November, if you would, and we might include them on an upcoming programme. The email is crowdscience@bbc.co.uk, or you can tweet us using the hashtag BBCCrowdScience. Next week, Anand Jagatia is back tackling the question, why are there morning people and night people? Why are some people up at the break of dawn, while others are night owls?
Marnie, it's been 2 weeks since we came back from the Memory Championships in Spain. If I say house, what do you say?
I say tree, vase, road, brick, frog, tomato, sand, snow, milk, cow, cheese, sun, friend, window, sword, shoe, clock, train, family. I'm actually a little bit scared that that list of random words is now hardwired into my brain. I can't remember quantum theory, but I can remember that nonsense.
Could you remember quantum theory before that?
I just keep teaching myself quantum theory and I keep reading it and then it keeps leaching out of my brain. So I keep getting it. And I keep having the same eureka moment again and again and again. And then I come back to it and I'm like, oh! And then I have to read up about it again and again. So maybe we'll do a whole programme on quantum theory and then I'll get it. There's a challenge for listeners.